Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
I love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. There is no other name that has been given to us by which we can be saved. And it's that name, Jesus, that at the mention of that name, Jesus, every knee here on earth, under the earth, and up in the heavens will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus, we enthrone you in this place. You alone are Lord over Watoto. You alone are Lord over our lives. Amen. The best place to be is under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And even on this special Women's Day, He reigns, He rules. And I have a message for the men. The men say that the women have Women's Day because they have the 364 days. And I thought I would come here and clarify. I'll give you the history of Women's Day. Back then, it was decided that Women's Day should be on 6th March. But what happened is when they said 6th March, as you know, women, they took 2 days to get ready. So Women's Day was postponed to 8th March. Even the men, they had planned a men's day. But as always, they forgot that date. Still going on with the history, in 1826, women had no rights. In 1926, women fought for some rights. In 2026, women are always right. There are two theories of arguing with a woman. Neither works. So happy Women's Day. It's a joy and a privilege to be a woman. But, you know, thinking about yesterday, we had a beautiful day, like Nandi and Trish mentioned. We had a beautiful day. It was sisterhood. I tell you, Holy Spirit loved on His daughters. It was beautiful. And at the end of that day, there was 3 girls who came up to me. They were maybe campers and slightly older. And they were all, oh, Pastor Vanita, we're so excited. We get to meet you in person. And they said, we want to be like you. And immediately, within me, I felt sorry for them. And I thought, no, you don't. Ask my husband and my kids to give you that inside scoop on me. Then you'll quickly change your mind. But you know, in life, we chase after people and we want to model our lives after celebrities and politicians and famous people. Let me tell you, half the time they are not real. They are made up. They first take 100 pictures and then they pick the polish it, make themselves skinny and post it. And you want to, they are not real. I'll tell you the one who's real. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the one true God. He's the one living Savior and Messiah that we need to fashion our lives after. And, you know, today, as we start the Easter series, we're going to follow the life of Jesus right from the time when He was conceived, which was a supernatural conception by the power of the Holy Spirit, all the way to when He died and the glorious resurrection thereafter. And this is the one thing that was true for Jesus Christ all through His life. His life was Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. Yeah. from his birth to his ministry, to his sacrifice on the cross, to his resurrection, every step of the way, spirit empowered. And so we are going to look at his life because Jesus is the one we should model our lives after, to live a spirit empowered and a spirit led and spirit empowered life. And that's in keeping with our theme for this year. Zechariah 4:6 says, it will not be by might, it will not be by power, but by the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. So we need to learn how to be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. But you may ask yourself, Jesus was God. Why did he need Holy Spirit? And in Philippians 2, 5 to 8, it says this. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ stripped himself of all the divine privileges to come down here on earth and live amongst us so that he could be our perfect sacrifice, so that through his death, we would receive eternal salvation. And so because of that, we're going to follow his life and learn from him how to live a spirit-led and spirit-empowered life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Cool. The first, when we start his journey, oh, by the way, there's a sermon title. The sermon is The Spirit-Empowered Life of Jesus. Just putting it out there for those who are making notes. And the first aspect we look at is Jesus' conception. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we read in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Jesus' conception was not by human will. Mary did not make it happen. It was impossible for Mary to conceive Jesus on her own. So that tells us that with God, nothing is impossible. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, nothing is impossible. And Luke 1:37 says it, for with God, nothing is impossible. And you may be here, and you have those situations that seem impossible. The word of God that was true for Mary is true for you today, that nothing is impossible. Yesterday, again, at our sisterhood gathering, we had a moment where there was a lady who came up on stage and shared a testimony. And she said that last year's sisterhood gathering, we invited ladies who were waiting on God for the fruit of the womb to stand, and we prayed over them. And I remember the girls went around them and we prayed over them and we declared that they would receive the fruit of a womb. So this year she was on stage and she shared that she waited 5 solid years. But while she was on stage, she was like this. Then another one came up to me after the whole thing ended and said, same time last year, I also stood up by faith, because I had been waiting 7 years to conceive, and she was almost popping at that point. Nothing is impossible with the Holy Spirit. The same way he enabled Mary to conceive is the way he's more than able to handle anything that concerns us today. So lean in and have faith in a mighty God who does things that are impossible. But also the other one that is so cool and critical to note is that with that same power, Jesus was born. And through Jesus, we have salvation. But this is the thing to note. Holy Spirit enables that salvation. I'm right now speaking to you, and Holy Spirit is doing a work in our hearts. He's convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you will have an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus Christ later if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. But salvation is made possible because Holy Spirit is right there working in our hearts. And this is the cool thing. When we give our hearts to Jesus, we are born again. We are born of the Spirit. We become a new creation. Our name is written down in the book of life in heaven. And when we pass from this life, we are not dead. We pass into eternity. Isn't that amazing? It is so cool that even though we are here, we are assured of eternity. Amen. The second aspect I want to point out after we learn that there is nothing impossible and salvation is not by human effort, it is a new birth enabled by the Holy Spirit. The second aspect I want to point out is that, so we've come from Jesus' birth, his conception and birth, and then now we move to his ministry. And we see that from when he started his ministry, his public ministry, he was anointed by the Spirit. In Luke 3, 21 to 22, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And right there when he was baptized, his Father God spoke and said, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. He endorsed his Son publicly. And then we see from there that the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness, leads him into the wilderness, and there he's tempted. You know, the devil comes, if you will bow, if you will do what, and he keeps responding, it is written, it is written, it is written. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to say to Satan, get away from me, Satan. And you and I can do the same today. And it is worth noting that whenever God is setting us up for significant assignments in our life, the enemy tries to bring diversion. He tries to bring discouragement. He tries to foil that which the Lord has for us. And he plants temptation. Every day, temptation is right there at our doorstep. So every single day, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to say no to the enemy. We need it. The Bible says that there is no temptation that has come to us that he cannot give us a way out. He gives us a way out. I'm reminded of this woman, Heaven's Gates time. She came here. No, she didn't come here. She left wherever she was, and she intended to come to the city, Kampala, and meet a married man. And they were going to have a rendezvous. And the deal was that when they're done, he would give her money because she desperately needed rent money. as the Lord would have it, because the Lord really helps us. That married man's phone numbers were off. She could not find him. She tried and failed. And as she was wandering around, confused, what do I do? What do I try next? She happened upon Watoto Church. So that long queue of heaven's gates, what's happening? She joined the queue, entered the building. Long story short, she gave her life to Christ. Right there, we see Holy Spirit working in her and also protecting her, giving her a way out she did not know she had when temptation was seriously pressing in on her. Even for you and I, whatever it is, whatever area where we are tempted and feeling pressed and hard pressed to compromise, listen. You just have to turn to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, give me a way out. I cannot survive this without you. He will help you. He will help you. In this day and age, it's so hard to do things in a manner that honors God. It is so hard to stand for truth and integrity when you're doing business. Any deal you're pushing, anything, you need to pass money under the table. Call on Holy Spirit. He will give you a way out. He's in the business of doing that for his children. So we see that he goes into the wilderness and he's tempted, and he overcomes the temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then right after he comes out of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, that and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. But then after that, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit and went to the temple. And in the temple, he picked up the scroll. And in verse 18, he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I really love that part. I'll tell you why, but I really love that part. But we see that right from there, he started his public ministry. He was teaching, healing the sick, setting those who are oppressed free, the lame, the blind. He performed numerous miracles, fed thousands, and all that was empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because he was fully man, so he needed that empowerment. And now, for you and I, we have our ministry here on earth. Wherever God has placed you, whether it's in the marketplace, as a doctor, a teacher, a businessman, a student, wherever he has placed you, we need the Holy Spirit to anoint us for that work. We need the Holy Spirit to anoint you so that you're the best nurse ever and you can figure out what your patient truly needs. We need the Holy Spirit to anoint us so that we can stand for truth as lawyers. God knows we need a lot of Holy Spirit in our justice system. You know, you might be a politician and the pressure is on to compromise and corruption and all that. Holy Spirit will anoint you for that ministry he has called you to. And this is the thing. He's the one who's put us there. He's the one who's assigned us. It's your assignment from God. He has the blueprint. So why would we attempt to do it without him? We really, really need him to help us because he's the one who has assigned us. Now, yesterday, like I said, we had a marvelous time. And when we were done, I was all tired and my head was pounding. there was so much emotion going on during the service, and it was all beautifully overwhelming. And I got home, and I was extremely tired, but it was time to look at this sermon and prepare for today. And I looked at the sermon, and we thank God we have our wonderful pastors, like this Pastor Brian's and other pastors. They were very kind to us as the wives, and they wrote the sermon for us. But here is the challenge. Because they wrote it, it had a lot of theology. It was a bit complicated. Now, I speak for myself. I am simple, and I like simple things, and I understand simple things. So after I read through this sermon about twice, and it was not connecting with me, I'm like, Lord, I got that sermon and put it aside. And you know what I did? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach this sermon to his children. And I declare that today it is fulfilled by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Not because of my wisdom, not because of my preparation, not because of my experience. God knows I preach once a year. None of that. None of that. It is the Spirit of the Lord anointing me to preach his message before his people. So what assignment are you carrying that's overwhelming you and you're trying to do it in your strength? Don't even bother. You have Holy Spirit, our helper, our counselor, our teacher, and he's here to help you. Call on him. Let him lead you. Let him enable you to fulfill his assignments. Amen? Amen? Amen. We got this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've come from Jesus' ministry. And we see that after his ministry, a time came when he had to fulfill his ultimate purpose here on earth. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was through his death that we receive everlasting life. His ultimate purpose on earth was that. And so he had to offer himself up, and he offered himself by the power of the Holy Spirit as the perfect sacrifice. In Hebrews 9:14, the Bible says, for by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Now, I don't know about you, but I always read that Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice. Somehow, I kind of missed out the part of the Holy Spirit. And so when I was reading it, I realized, wow, by the power of the eternal Spirit, every step of the way, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're thinking about getting pregnant, whether you're thinking about raising a child, whether you're thinking about going to school, whether you're thinking about going for a job interview, whether you're thinking about building a house, whether you're thinking about retirement, whether you're thinking about sitting in your rocking chair of retirement, whatever it is, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to lead us. So looking at this part where Jesus is offering himself as the perfect sacrifice by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 53 says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He really suffered. Beating, scorn, shame, abuse. They spat on him, they tortured him, they whipped him, they put him on the cross. He died for us. And through it all, Holy Spirit enabled him to offer himself as that perfect sacrifice. I think about Peter and John in the Bible. They are full of the Spirit because it's after Pentecost, and they go and this man at the temple, beautiful, and they say, get up in the name of Jesus. And then they are arrested for serving God, for doing the work of God. And you know the Holy Spirit was on them, because the Bible says they recognize that these men had been with Jesus, because Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. And they told them, go and don't say anything about Jesus again. And they said, who should we obey? You or our God? And of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they had the courage and the boldness to stand for Jesus. I think about Paul and Silas. First of all, Paul, like, his life is one of pain and tragedy and suffering and hardship, all the way shipwrecked, beaten again, you're going to die, you know, chased, running, fleeing for your life. It was a life of hardship. But that man wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. That was the Holy Spirit. Because if he was an ordinary man without the enablement of the Holy Spirit, oh, he would have quit a long time ago. But because the Holy Spirit was with him, he was able to do that. And the Bible says when he was with him and Silas were in prison, and they had been whipped, and you imagine they are bleeding and all that, the Holy Spirit, gave them a spirit of praise, and they were in worship in their jail. And then what happens? Jail breaks open. They are enabled by the Holy Spirit. And so even when we are in times of hardship, Holy Spirit is there to help us fulfill our ultimate purpose here on earth. You and I, each of us, have a purpose here on earth. None of us is here to mark time, to say, I'm just breathing and I eat food and I sleep. No, there is a purpose. There's a divine purpose for which God has put each of you here on earth. Yes, you can clap. It's good to know that you have purpose. And so, how do you fulfill that purpose? You need the one who has the blueprint for your life to fulfill that purpose. And his name is Holy Spirit. He will help you. He will direct you. If you lean in and obey him, you will hear a voice behind you saying in the wilderness, my child, this is the way, walk ye in it. And he will lead you. He will sustain you. He will strengthen you. He will equip you. He will embolden you. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you everything you need to fulfill that purpose. Amen? Amen. So let's lean in and ask Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. Don't do it on your own. Like Jesus, let Holy Spirit lead you and empower you. Then we'll do things the way God wants us to do. And even when you're in times of hardship, Holy Spirit gives you supernatural strength to go through those hardships and still retain a posture of obedience and surrender to him. Amen. Now, the final part of Jesus' journey here on earth is we see it in his resurrection. And even his resurrection was by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did not resurrect himself. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and I. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So, Jesus dies, he's in the tomb, they seal it with that stone, they put strong military men to guard and make sure no one sneaks in. Let me tell you, it does not matter what human beings put in the way. When you call on the power of the Holy Spirit, the stone will be rolled away. Those military people will be taken out of your way. The dead will rise from the grave because there is no situation that is too dead for the Holy Spirit. Amen? There is no situation that's too dead for the power of the Holy Spirit. My question is, what situation are you facing that you feel, man, I have given up on this one, it's dead? Think about it. And then on top of thinking about Jesus, remember people like Lazarus. That man was dead 4 days. He should have been rotten and stinking. He walked out of that grave because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They had a promise from God. Count the sand on the beach. That's how numerous your descendants will be. Count the stars in the sky, if you can. That's how numerous the descendants I'm giving to you will be. And then they move from 75 to 85 to 95. Now 100, there is no baby. Isn't that dead? Listen, Sarah is 90. For us, they tell us when you start hitting 35, your biological clock is ticking. You better get a baby before you put it in. The God who gave Sarah a baby at 90 can do it for you at 40. He is not limited by the means of man. He works outside the limitations of man. The power of the Holy Spirit can help you accomplish that. So I don't know if for you it's a dead marriage. He walked out on you, or she walked out on you, and it's been 5 years. She's probably even living with another one. The Lord can resurrect that marriage by the power of his Holy Spirit. Because his Holy Spirit works in us to convict. I don't know if it's for you, it's a business where you sunk all your life savings and now it's dead. It is not too dead for the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. If it's a child who has turned their back on God, their heart is not too dead for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you've been out of school for 2 years and your dream was to go and finish your law degree, but your parents died and you don't see a way out, your dreams are not dead when the power of the Holy Spirit intervenes. Let us invite Holy Spirit to lead us and empower us. So even as I wrap up, I just want to remind you of the four critical aspects. First and foremost, before the four, remember that Jesus Christ is our perfect model for a spirit-led and spirit-empowered life. And through his life journey, we see that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And through that, we have the ability to say no to temptation. We have salvation and new life availed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we see Jesus anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I can live in that same anointing to fulfill the assignments of God here on earth. And then we see that Jesus offered himself as the perfect sacrifice through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I can endure hardships and trials by the power of that same Holy Spirit. And then we see that even when Jesus died, the power of the Holy Spirit resurrected him. And the Bible says that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you and I today. So there is no situation in our lives that's too dead for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lean in and let the Holy Spirit lead and empower you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.